It is a pleasure to introduce our speaker, Jim, this day. He would desire your careful attention and also your silent prayers for him as he brings us the message. Jim?
Got it. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Before I start here this morning, I just want to tell you a little of what's happening at our house. About 4 or 5 days ago, Viva was outside. She thought she got bit by a mosquito. About 3 days later, that little bite, you couldn't see where there had been a bite. Was about the size of a quarter and bright red and swelling. And I told her we'd ought to go in and see what was wrong with it. And she didn't want to, and Debbie and Randy come over and told her the same thing. So I took her to emergency, and the doctor took one look and said, staph infection. So they gave her some antibiotics, and she took those for 2 days. And in the meantime, instead of that little spot on her elbow, on her right arm, she's got a spot up here on this shoulder about the size of my palm. Red, swollen up. Says she wanted to scratch it right off of there. So I took her back down to the emergency room, and she spent most of the day there yesterday. They put in a couple of bags of the fluid that they use and let her come home last night, but said come back in this morning for another trip. So she's down in the hospital right now getting some more fluid. But the others did look better this morning. But she's got a couple of other places that are hurting. So we do need to remember in our prayers. Because I don't like staph infection. It's something we've dealt with in my family several times, and it can turn out to be a real terrible thing. This morning, I was looking around, not this morning, but I was looking around trying to think of something that I might speak on this on, and got a book down there that's got a daily reading. I thumbed through it a little bit to the day a couple, 3 days ago, and I read the little article there, and I thought, I believe I'm going to use this. I believe I'm going to talk. And it's about anger. We all have anger at some time in our life. It's something we have to learn how to control and how to handle. But I want to read this little testimony that this individual gave. My brother was very angry. He used profane language and started to throw things. That temper of yours is going to get you into trouble one of these days, I remarked. He was going to the Temple University at the time and quoted Dr. Clapp, whom he admired, the professor, and said, anger is a sign of intelligence. With a wisdom I did not know I possessed, I replied, did he tell you to control the temper and anger as a greater mark of intelligence and maturity? With anger, Christ drove the money changers out of the temple. Anger against evil is good, but it must be dealt with wisely. Psychologists claim that anger releases poisons that are destructive to our bodies. Even if we feel our anger is justified, pain is associated with it. This type of anger should be shared with our God so we can deal with it wisely. Uncontrolled anger never solves anything. Anger against evil must be thought of and dealt with the help of God and the Holy Spirit. Our young people need the wisdom of wise parents, not their uncontrolled anger. The parents need to deal with the young people wisely. Not just get angry and mad at them and blow up. That's not setting a very good example. It's not hard to get angry. I can get angry. But I seldom let it get the best of me. I just don't like to let anger let me do things that I wouldn't do otherwise. But I've got a few scriptures in here, and the first one I want to read is concerning Christ when he drove out the money changers out of the temple. And that is in John, the second chapter, the 13th through 16th verses. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. He was very unhappy when he realized what was going on in the temple. They were in there to make money. They were selling, using it as a business place. And you can see what his anger did. It caused him to, he had to stop and think about it in order to take time to build his whip. But he used it. He used it on the people and on the animals, the sheep and the oxen. Turned upside down their tables and their money. And told the ones that were selling the doves to get them out of there. He didn't turn them loose. He just told them to get them out, that they didn't belong in that house. That's a house of worship. We might say it would be like bringing them in here and using them here. But he controlled his anger. He did what was necessary, went on about his business. We have to learn to do that. And it's something that's sometimes very hard to do. Somebody does something wrong to you, you want to, just human nature to fight back. And it's something that we shouldn't do. Let's turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting at the 26th verse. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He's already forgiven us for our sins. If we get in anger and we sin, we have to ask again. We're told in here that if His Spirit is really within us, that we won't sin. Tells us that in several places. But we want to take care of that wrath. I've said for years that If you're mad at somebody or you've got a big problem with somebody, if you go to sleep, maybe it's your wife, you go to sleep that night with it. In the morning when you get up, it's still there and probably bigger, probably more of a problem than it was if you'd have taken care of it when it happened. And this is something that I have tried over the years to do, and sometimes it's hard, but we have to do it. Because he expects us to control our anger. It said here, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Well, if you're angry, it's wrath, isn't it? We find it mentioned several places in here. And it's very easy for us to let something just hang on and hang on. When it does, it grows. We need to take care of things when they happen. And it's something that sometimes is very hard to do, but if we'll pray about it, the Lord will help us. He'll help us to take care of those problems. I want to read in Colossians, the 3rd chapter. Third chapter, starting with the 8th verse. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. When we receive God, we put off the old man, the old body, the old things that we did to bring ourselves to where we do new things, do the things that the Spirit of God directs us to do. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And he let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called, and in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. It's hard to discipline a child and not make it angry, isn't it? We need to watch the way that we discipline our children. If we do it in anger, it may not do the good that it would do if we do it in love. Do it in the love that Jesus Christ has given us to do, to treat other people. The same thing with our brothers and sisters. If I'm unhappy with Rita over something or Randy, I need to let them know that. I don't need to get mad about it. I just need to get it straightened out with them so that it's not bothering and becoming something bigger that could come to a point that it bothers all of us, because it can. And we need to have charity in our hearts. It says, which is the bond of perfectness. We know that charity is a pure love of Christ. It's that love that he expects us to have in our hearts, that he gives us when he gives us the Holy Ghost. He gives us the right to have that pure love of his. We have to strive at it. It's not something that comes to us every day, and it's just there for us to reach out when we need it. This love needs to be in our heart as we go about the daily life that we have. Because we never know when something's going to happen. When we need to be able to, instead of getting mad, to use that love that he's given us to overcome problems that are within us. Because there can be problems there. Especially in families. In neighbors. We have pretty good neighbors. We have little kids that use our cul-de-sac for a playground. The ones that did that last summer and early this spring moved out. Another family moved in. But there was five, there's usually five of them out there are going just as fast as they can go around that cul-de-sac. And they parked a camp trailer on the street. Our neighbor complained the other night. She says, just as I come up, even at that trailer, one of those kids shot out in front of me onto a bicycle. She says, I went and talked to the mother. She didn't seem to mind it. She didn't seem worried about it. About 2 days later, we came in and Viva was driving, and we saw they were, parents were standing back talking. We could see them before we got up to the trailer. And suddenly, the little girl that we saw go out and make on a scooter and make a curve and go into her folks, come down and shot straight out in front of us, right in front of that trailer. Viva hit the horn. She stopped, hit the horn. Those people looked at her like she was sick. What happened? They didn't see that little girl go back out past that trailer and where you could hit her. They just thought we were being cranky. We weren't being cranky. I'm scared for those little kids. And Viva's doing the driving nowadays because I don't have a license. I went down 2 weeks before my birthday to renew my license. I spent an hour and 55 minutes sitting there waiting to do it. And I was kind of wobbly on my feet when I got up and went up to take the eye test. I read him the numbers and he says, now which side of them is the flashing light on? There wasn't any flashing light. So he did something and says, now try it again. I still didn't have any flashing lights. So getting my license stopped right there. I had to take a form to my regular doctor, have him fill it out. Take another to my eye doctor and have him fill it out. I took them back in. The eye doctor had took it off of the report that he had done about 4 months before, but it had to be within 90 days, so I had to make another appointment to get him to fill that out. So I took them back in, and they said, fine, we'll send these into the state, and the state will set up a driving test for you. Tomorrow, that's 30 days since they left that. I haven't heard word out of anybody. So Viva's my chauffeur. I'm getting to sit back and relax. But it's kind of hard on her because she hasn't driven very much for the last 3 or 4 years. This traffic kind of gets to her. But you know, we get problems that we don't know why. But part of that was because they saw my wheelchair. And my doctor marked that I should have a driver's test. But both doctors, when I went into them, said, reason it wasn't the lights because they forgot to turn it off, because if it was there, you could see it. I didn't. So I'm being chauffeured around, and I'm finding out just how unhandy that is. Have to ask other people. But you know, I could get awful angry and mad at that outfit. I'm not going to, I'll wait until I get my test. I don't know if they're making up an appointment for a doctor to check me out or whether it's a driver's test. I don't know what they're waiting on, but they're taking their own sweet time. Things like this can cause us to have anger, to be resentful. But I'm not going to let it do that to me. I'll just sit back and be chauffeured. Verna's my chauffeur this morning. She chauffeured Viva down to the hospital and then come back and got me and brought me over here. She'll chauffeur me back to the hospital when we get off of here. So I might ask if you remember that and say a prayer for me there too. Let's turn to Matthew. I kind of got off the subject, didn't I? Matthew, the 5th chapter. These 5 and 6 and 7 chapters have really got a lot into them. I want to go to the 5th chapter at the 22nd verse. Through the 26th. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agreeing with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in this way with him, lest at any time the adversaries deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out of thence till you have paid the uttermost farthing. If we have a problem with our brothers and sisters, we need to straighten it out. That's what this is telling us, with a neighbor. We just need to straighten it out and have that off of our conscience when we come before God. We'd be coming for in prayer. When they're saying here before the altar, they're talking about the Moses law. And we know that that's been done away with, that we have a better law now. I want to read in the 5th chapter, so just some verses that I like. It says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherefore shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light and of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the kind of works that we need to do, is the works that glorify our Father. We need to set an example for those around us. On the Saturday before reunion, Debbie and another lady or two used the back room. They was raising money for Susie, and Susie isn't doing real good. But they did raise a pretty good little bunch of money. They had some motorcycle riders that took a ride and went to certain places and come back in. I think they had 4 or 5 different kinds of spaghetti there that they could pick from. I think we were kind of worried a little bit about it. But Viva and I left here just before they got here, and we met 7 of them coming right down the road right down here. They tell me there was another 13 showed up. We had 20 motorcycles parked in the back of our lot. Are we kind of on pins and needles? What's going to happen here? You know what Debbie told me? She says, when those men come in, they come in with their hats in their hand. They come in quietly. And one of them looked around and said, this is wonderful. I didn't know there was something like this on this Orchard Mesa. And they were gentlemen all the way through that meeting. They were there and drew numbers to get some prizes. No foul language. Respected every bit for where they were at. And this is good. This is good. Other people can respect us. Now they know we're here. I hope that one of these days we hear motorcycles pull up and maybe a couple of them come to our service. In fact, a couple said they were going to, so she said, it's fine with me. They're just like we are. They're people. Some of these individuals are, I had seen down at Al-Anon when I went with Randy and Debbie down there. But you know, it's surprising. Sometimes you'll hear some loud language and stuff there. But normally it's a well-controlled group of people. And the love that you see there, there's somebody getting hugged all the time. There's somebody coming in and a half a dozen people hollering at them when they come in the door. I like it. We went down to them, and I think I told you this, that they had a remembrance for a man that had gone there. And this man still went there. I think it had been over 30 years since he had had an alcohol drink. He says, I have to keep coming. And he kept going there. But you know, when they got through talking about this man and telling about him, I felt like I'd been in church. I really did. The love that come out that day for that individual from those people. And while that they were talking, you know, different ones talking and telling about the things he had done for them or with them, and he was a man who did a lot of good. He helped people. But I did. I felt like we'd been at church. You know, we had a man get up at the service here in our reunion. And he talked down the 12 steps. If we believe in God, we don't need those. You know what those 12 steps are? They're a ladder to bring people so that they know God, so that they know who that higher power is. Some of them haven't had that type of training. Some of them know what God is and who he is, that he's the best friend that they ever had, and he is. But the people there, a lot of them are doing good. And I'm glad of that. I want to turn to James, the third chapter. James, the third chapter, starting with the third verse through the 11th. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may be obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they are so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they a turn about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore blessed be God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? No. You know what a fountain can? It's got one water in there. They'd have to put in two different systems and to get it to send forth both types of water. But we have to watch our tongue. That's part of this anger thing. When we get angry, you can say things that you wish later you hadn't said. And it's just something that we do. And I kind of threw that one in. One other place. You remember the story of a young man that had 12 brothers, I believe, and his father gave him a multicolored coat. And they were jealous. And they decided they'd do something about it. So they throw him in a cistern when some people from were going by, they took him out and sold him to them. Sold Joseph into Egypt. We all know this story. We know that Joseph, when he was in Egypt, answered the dream that the Pharaoh had and got himself placed in a great position, ruler over a lot of it. I've often wondered just how much remorse the brothers had over this. But the dream that he interpreted was that there'd be 7 fat years where they would grow everything and put it up. There would be 7 years after that that nothing would be grown. It says not even plowing, not even putting seed in the ground because of the drought. So they put him over that land and he stored that grain, great quantities of it, had them grow it, stored it for future use. And we find a couple years after that second 7 years started, that Joseph's dad and brothers and them were without food. And that the father sent the brothers to Egypt. And when they got there, they didn't know Joseph. He knew them. And he loaded up their animals and gave them the food they needed. And told him to bring their little brother with him when they come. Remember? This story, I may be getting it off just a little, but you're getting the idea of it. Do you know what he told his brothers when the next time they come? He got them away from the other people, the Egyptians. And he says, I am Joseph, your brother who you sold. And I am not angry with you. Because God caused this to happen. He placed me in a place where I can save you people now. But he says, don't be angry. Because God planned it. We don't know what God's going to do in our lives, but he helps us. And oftentimes we don't even realize how much he helps us and how much he guides and directs us. But we know that he had them bring his whole family, his dad and all the children and their animals. They were given a choice place in Egypt. And we know that it later that this changed. But at that time, the will of God had been done. And that's what we want to work for in our lives, is what the will of God is. I got one more reading. And that's in James, the first chapter. I want to start at the 17th verse. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wait, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? No matter how much faith we have to work for Christ. It's necessary. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was input unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be called a friend of God? Every one of us can be a friend of his if we'll follow his example, do the things that he has us to do. Yea, see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out on the other way? And as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I kind of thought I had enough about anger in there. It's just something I want us to think about and not let it get out of hand with us and tear us down. Because believe me, that's one of the things that the devil will get at you real easy with and encourage it. And he's out there working, trying to tear each one of us down and get us for his. I don't want him doing that to me. I just don't. I want to be able to have God's Spirit there with me, that when the temptations come, that little small voice will tell me, hey, this isn't right. And most of the time we know whether it's right or wrong, what we do, because God has given us His Spirit, and He tells us the things that we should do and the things that we shouldn't. And He'll nudge us once in a while. And I praise God for that. Thank you.